This is the Daily News Legislative Podcast presented by South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
First off, from peer David Gilbertson, the Chief Justice of the South Dakota Supreme Court, says challenges in the state's judicial system are substantial, but not insurmountable. SDPB's Jennifer Jones has highlights from the State of the Judiciary Address.
Chief Justice David Gilbertson says the statewide network of drug and alcohol courts continues to grow and expand. He says nearly all larger towns in South Dakota have either a drug or alcohol court. He is requesting funding for a program in Brookings and other expansions.
I see two additional opportunities to keep addicts out of the penitentiary and restructure their lives so that they become useful citizens who pay taxes and support their families. First, I would like to see both alcohol and drug courts offered in each location where there is one or the other. You treat an alcoholic differently than you treat a drug addict.
Gilbertson would like more funding to accommodate more participants. He also wants to focus on fighting elder abuse in South Dakota. He says there are currently no mental health or mental anguish components in the state's abuse and neglect statutes. A Chief Justice bill is based on recommendations from a task force.
A few of the highlights of the recommendations are incorporating emotional and psychological abuse into our criminal abuse and neglect statutes. Recognizing the predominantly domestic or family nature of elder abuse, creating a civil right of action for elder abuse similar to our existing domestic protection laws. Employing a new prosecutor in the Office of Attorney General to specialize in prosecuting financial exploitation of elders in South Dakota. Creating a civil right of action against financial exploiters. And requiring background checks for proposed guardians and conservators, and generally prohibiting felons from serving in those positions.
Gilbertson says the changes won't completely solve the problem, but will make it more difficult to prey on vulnerable seniors. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Jennifer Jones in Pierre.
Education is still the dominant issue of the state legislative session. There are lots of moving parts in the governor's education plan. To help break it down, there are lots of moving parts in the governor's education funding plan. To help break it down and to understand some of the reaction to the plan, SDPB's Lori Walsh speaks with reporter Keely Boltina on Dakota Midday. Here's that conversation.
Let's set up the education proposal right now. What is the governor's plan to put more money into the pipeline for schools and for teachers?
Okay, so the governor's plan has several elements, and we'll see more of those as bills are filed and as people start talking about it. But the two main topics that we're talking about are raising the sales tax half a cent and then redefining the funding formula for public schools. So the governor's proposal raises the sales tax one half of one penny. He says, here are the numbers, he generates $107.4 million. He wants to give $40 million of that back into the property tax relief, which leaves us with $67.4 million for education. You can add $19 million more from a pension levy, which gives the grand total for education new money at $86.4 million. That's for school districts to increase teacher salary, and it's also for some of the extra programs the governor mentioned about teacher mentoring, board certifications, e-learning, all of those things. So he's operating with this goal of getting the average teacher salary up to $48,900. That doesn't mean everybody gets a raise, but it's much higher than what we're dealing with right now and puts us more competitive with the region. The Blue Ribbon Task Force recommended a minimum of $75 million in new money for education. So the governor's office says 86.4 is well over that. He called that plenty, which is why he says there's that $40 million available that can go back into property tax relief.
So what do the education leaders think of the plan?
Well, they education leaders have applauded it, and that's an important piece of it too. But there is going to be some discrepancy about the sales tax and about that second element, which is where the plan redefines the funding formula. So in 1997, we established that we're going to give a certain number of dollars per student to every school district. So it's based on the number of students you have, how they get funding right now. This changes that to be giving funding based on the student-to-teacher ratio that you're able to achieve. So larger schools will have a slightly higher student-to-teacher ratio, and smaller schools will have a lower student-to-teacher ratio. So when we're we're looking at that. We have the SDA saying, you know, this is a good start. We have members of the Blue Ribbon Task Force saying he took a lot of our ideas and implemented them. You know, we were really heard when we researched and did all of these public meetings. We've also talked to some superintendents, and especially of the larger schools already, they say that they generally support this plan. Brian Maher is superintendent of the Sioux Falls School District. He said on Monday that the governor really had an opportunity to restore respect to educators. And this is what he had to say right after the governor's speech.
Well, he made a couple of points that I firmly agree with. One is the best thing we can do for the kids of our state is put quality teachers in front of them. So I think he was spot on that. The second thing is, you know, I'm not worried about losing teachers to Mississippi or New York or California, but I'm very worried about losing teachers from Sioux Falls to Iowa or Minnesota or Nebraska. So to be competitive regionally, I think, is critical, and his proposal meets that mark.
So the Rapid City superintendent agrees, says generally he could support this or better, but they say, of course, it's going to change throughout the session. You heard from the junkies, not all lawmakers are on board with this plan. Not everybody's going to think it's good. And Democratic leaders say they support 90% of what the governor has to say. But, of course, that leaves us with 10% that they don't really support then.
So if there's parts of it that they don't really support, what are their specific concerns coming from the Democrats? What are you hearing?
One of the issues is the small schools versus larger school situation, because right now in the funding formula we offer a small school small schools more money because it sometimes it costs more to run a school in a rural area, and this new funding formula removes that. And they say that it's good to have the ratios, but the governor needs to push that ratio even lower for small schools if they're going to have enough money to operate. That was one point that State Senator Billy Sutton really talked about when it comes to the student-to-teacher ratio being low enough.
Because with this new formula, the small school factor is going away, which was a very important piece for our smaller schools in South Dakota. And so we need to make sure that this sliding scale benefits smaller schools enough to make up for the added costs that sometimes they incur being in a rural area and those types of things. So that's an important factor for us when we're having this discussion. You know, when you start digging into the numbers and see the projected increase in teacher pay with the 12.5 or even 12 ratio that was proposed as the floor, there's a big discrepancy in what smaller schools are going to be able to give for raises compared to those larger schools. And we need to try to create a very fair system in that. And so I'm hopeful that as we move through the session, that there will be discussions and compromises made, because that is our call to action when we come here to Pierre, is to find solutions that work for not just some, but all.
So are there choices that, Keeley, that the different school districts and the superintendents, are they making choices based on the money? How does that sort of work?
Absolutely. So when I was talking with Senator Sutton, he said, you know, if we change this formula and we have the small school where it is in without a small school adjustment, and we have this ratio where it is, he says he doesn't anticipate that small school districts are going to start eliminating staff members, but they will have either less money to give raises or no money to give raises in some situations. So great if we're able to raise the average teacher's salary in the state more. But he says part of the point is to get all teachers up a little bit so that everybody is kind of being compensated more appropriately.
So if I'm a teacher and I don't, and this goes forward, we're going to assume it goes forward for a minute, and I don't get a raise or I don't get as much as I thought it was, am I calling the governor's office or am I calling my superintendent? Who am I going to ask the hard questions to?
You know, state lawmakers are being very focused on the fact that local control is essential. So they are trying to find ways to provide the money to the school districts and then allow the school districts to decide how that's given, where, and how we use it. So I think that's going to be an important piece of this, is that the governor has said and state lawmakers say, we are not going to mandate what you do with this money because we don't want to be making decisions for you, because each school district has very different needs and challenges. So we're going to provide more money for you because we know we have to, and then you're going to figure out how to divvy that out as best as you can for the people you have.
So if I'm a parent, I'm paying very close attention to this conversation. When am I going to expect to hear what's happening? Do I wait until March and then I hear something, or am I going to hear before then?
Well, you have to remember that if you wait until March, you don't get to have a voice. So if you pay attention, clearly things are going to, we're at a starting point. We have the governor's plan. And then lawmakers, you have 105 of them. They all have their opinions. Some like it, some don't. Some want more, some want less. They're all going to try to figure out how they can best serve their districts and the students in South Dakota. So this plan is going to change, and it's going to change throughout the entire session. So if you're the parent at home, if you're not a parent, but you know that education is important in South Dakota, you're going to have to pay attention throughout the session, because the decisions that are made and the way the plan changes are going to directly affect you, well, or indirectly, because, you know, in the end, it all boils back into South Dakota's economy. And that's one of the things. So if you wait until March, you'll know what happened and what everybody decided, but you won't have been able to participate in the process and let your lawmakers know what you think.
Keely Bultina, thank you so much for that breakdown of the numbers and an overall discussion.
You're welcome.
Appreciate your time.
And finally, Keely Bultina wasn't the only guest on SDPB's Dakota Midday. Governor Dennis Dugard also joined the show. He says the state needs to examine the Gear Up scandal and learn how to avoid similar situations in the future. Shortly after the state terminated its relationship with the administrating organization, the Mid-Central Education Cooperative, an employee at the program killed himself and his family. Dugard says the state needs to do a better job ensuring that outside agencies it does business with are adhering to ethical practices. Governor Dennis Dugard says the Mid-Central Education Co-op is an agency outside of direct state government oversight. Dugard says employees at Mid-Central weren't following normal ethical guidelines.
Some of the members of Mid-Central, Scott Westerhaus, the man who killed his family and himself, created these outside entities. And then he benefited not only as an employee of Mid-Central, but he hired himself. Hmm. Well, that's ridiculous. That's a conflict of interest. And we need to do a better job of making sure as a state that we're not only supervising our own employees, but we're looking into the practices of those people with whom we do business.
Dugard says state officials had not found any major wrongdoing, but terminated the contract with Mid-Central after the organization failed to meet standard accounting practices. Dugard says, like many others, he's waiting for the outcome of ongoing investigations.
You know, ultimately, the people who are being investigated and the financial records of those people, they should come to light. They should come to light.
State officials who are investigating say they will follow the money wherever it leads. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Charles Michael Ray in Rapid City.
This has been today's top legislative news from the state capitol in Pierre. Be sure to join us again tomorrow. And for the remainder of the 2016 legislative session, South Dakota Public Broadcasting has you covered. If you want to view more radio news and see additional programming information from South Dakota Public Broadcasting, visit us online at sdpb.org. Also, stay connected with us on social media by liking South Dakota Public Broadcasting on Facebook and by following our news department on Twitter. Our handle is @SDPBNews. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.